Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we are continuing yesterday's theme, where first we'll present, from current events, some simple things to understand, and then something that's slightly more difficult to understand. So these simple things we'll take from the news, and the only slightly more difficult things to understand we're taking from Will Duffy's debate, our former BEL producer, his debate with one of the web's most popular theologians, a Calvinist, Matt Slick, regarding God's relationship to time. Now, from current events and the simple things to understand, we want to look at the Me Too movement compared to Bill Clinton's MoveOn.org. And we want to look at one of the positive things to come out of the nightmare year of 2020, and then also the difference between HIV restrictions and COVID, and comments on the infallible Anthony Fauci, a U.S. medical expert, alleged expert. So to begin with, the opposite of the Me Too movement, which movement expressed outrage mostly against men who sexually harassed, sexually abused, or even sexually assaulted women, often in the workplace. So the opposite of the Me Too movement was Bill Clinton's MoveOn.org. He didn't found it, but with all the evidence that Bill Clinton had sexually harassed, had sexually assaulted, had exposed himself, even when a woman is horrified by the unexpected act, and even credible evidence that Bill Clinton has raped women, including Juanita Broderick. And these women, they're all his supporters, all women who were honored to be in his presence, and then in shock, even in horror, they ended up with these accounts of Bill Clinton being a sexual predator. So MoveOn.org, not founded by Bill or Hillary Clinton, but it was the leftist, Democrat, liberal movement that said, look, just get over it. Just shut up and get over it. MoveOn.org. That's what MoveOn.org means, and it's still a huge liberal organization. Takes in many millions of dollars a year. Yet from my observation, MoveOn.org didn't utter a peep when the Me Too movement began and was going strong. They didn't utter a peep because MoveOn.org is the antithesis of the Me Too movement. It's that executive privilege means that powerful liberals can sexually harass, abuse, and even sexually assault women, and the women better just take it and shut up about it. In fact, they should enjoy it. That's MoveOn.org. And along with Hollywood and the secular, godless education of our public school system and right up through our universities, they laid the intellectual foundation for women to take it and shut up about it. And even libertarians today. If there is a manufacturer, say in the aerospace industry, let's say a private jet manufacturer, and they want to hire women salespeople who are willing to seduce clients, even up to and including having sex with potential clients, the libertarian would say that that company has every right to tell its female workforce that if you want to keep getting a paycheck, you have to be willing to sleep with the clients. MoveOn.org, Libertarian Party, These are the opposite of the Me Too movement, and conservative Christians had an overreaction against the Me Too movement. It was the most significant moral movement in America since the rescue movement. And at heart, what it said was that men cannot get away with sexually mistreating women, and that should have been bolstered and approved of by Christian conservative leadership. Of course, with the caveat that you don't believe all women and you don't just accept an accusation as though it were proof. But the intolerance of treating women like objects, that was a fabulous relief against the sexual perversion and tension of our culture. And yet, because conservative Christians are so obsessed with partisan politics, and they thought the Me Too movement might take out a couple conservative Republicans, like maybe Donald Trump, Judge Roy Moore. Because of that, they were so short-sighted they didn't see the incredible importance of the movement itself. And in fact, 95%, 98% of the people who were taken out of their careers were leftists, were liberals, were Democrats, the vast majority. So the entire movement was misread and misunderstood by the conservatives and the conservative Christian leaders who thought it was all about taking down Republicans. They were completely wrong and at a tremendous cost. Now, another contrast, that was between Clinton's MoveOn.org, where Hillary Clinton helped to set back the cause of women a century. The contrast between MoveOn.org and the Me Too movement, and now we think about Anthony Fauci, the infallible Anthony Fauci, and the difference between government restrictions to prevent the spread of HIV and AIDS as compared to COVID and the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Think about the difference. At the time on the air, we pointed out here at Bob and Yurt Live, and we were hated for this, that AIDS was not a general population disease, and AIDS was not going to cross over to attack heterosexuals, and especially to attack people who were faithful and monogamous, one man, one woman in marriage, that it was not going to attack those people, that it would disproportionately attack homosexuals, male-on-male perversion, and people who were injecting drugs right into their veins and sharing needles with people who are sexually immoral. So we pointed out at the time, and we've since been vindicated. In fact, we pointed out that AIDS is a homosexual disease. And what happened decades later? According to the United Nations World Health Organization, the WHO, and as reported by, now we link to, you could get this throughout the media, but we link to the pro-homosexual media outlet, The Independent, that there is no threat of a world AIDS pandemic among heterosexuals. How's that? And this conclusion that the 25-year health campaign, that's a quarter of a century of the most significant health initiatives in the world, a quarter century health campaign in the U.S. and Europe and again around the world was misdirected. The head of the WHO's Department of HIV/AIDS said, quote, there will be no generalized epidemic of AIDS in the heterosexual population. Oh, yeah, and they gave caveats, like it is very unlikely. But these decades in now, it is clear from the data that, as we pointed out at the time, and our message was a life-saving message, the lie that AIDS was not a homosexual disease is the equivalent to the lie that lung cancer is not a smoker's disease. People who say that lung cancer is not a smoker's disease, they're not loving smokers. Rush Limbaugh smokes cigars and is dying now with stage 4 lung cancer, tragically. But the same lie, the same recklessness, the same indifference to people who are most at risk, it would be like saying today that COVID is not an especial threat to the elderly. It would be the exact same kind of lie. So at Bob and Yurt Live, we loved homosexuals enough to tell them the truth about the threat against them and to warn them to turn to Jesus Christ and repent and ask him for forgiveness so that they could enjoy everlasting life. And we were hated, and the media and the CDC and the WHO, they were all acclaimed, of course, even though they're misrepresenting the science certainly caused the death of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of homosexuals who believed the lie that AIDS was not a homosexual disease. And meanwhile, Anthony Fauci, he was in the middle of that whole nightmare. And we were reporting on the air at the time. I remember one case where a child walking to school in New York City, he was a first grader, he was seduced by a homosexual to come into the homo's house. He was walking right by the homo's house. He came into the homo's house and he was raped. That child was raped. Guess what happened? Well, law enforcement informs that boy's parents that he needs to go get tested because that rapist was HIV positive. And guess what the outrage was? In the media and by the homosexual activist in New York City. The outrage was that governing officials had the audacity to violate that homosexual's privacy by telling anyone his HIV status. How's that? We got long memories here at Bob and Yurt Live, and God has even longer memories. So Fauci, he's one of the architects of HIV being the first virus with civil rights. How dare you criticize someone who is spreading the HIV virus? How dare you? So he's asked back in April, and this was in mid-April. This is a month after Donald Trump had shut down travel from Europe. This is a month later, and throughout the previous month in 2020, the COVID deaths, at least as reported, were growing and growing. They peaked on April 24th. So I'm going to let you hear what Anthony Fauci said on April 15th, and it was on a Snapchat interview, and it was then republished by the Daily Mail over in England. You could get it on YouTube very easily. So Fauci has asked, well, how about these apps that promote sex with strangers? How about that? And he smirks and he smiles because he's a pervert. And he basically gives the green light, the okay. Let's hear it right from him.
Everybody has their own tolerance for risks, and it depends on the level of the interaction that you want to have. You're looking for a friend, sit in a room, put a mask on, and, you know, chat a bit. If you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, then that's your choice regarding a risk.
That's your choice. How about that from the lockdown king himself? Oh, it's not your choice to help your neighbor keep his business open and his dream of being able to provide for himself and his wife and to buy a home and to help their children get a good start in life. And you're going to destroy his business because his risk tolerance and your risk tolerance as a customer of your neighbor's business, that's tough. He's going to be the one to decide. But if you're a pervert homo, or you're a pervert looking for anonymous sex, well, then that's up to you. These people are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And so these are the simple things to understand. But there's one thing that 2020 has accomplished, and that is to reinforce thankfulness. You think about the shutdown and how it has reminded us, or for many, has taught us for the first time the blessing of having employment, right? I mean, before 2020, a lot of people thought of having a job as nothing but a burden. That's it. Now, some millions of people have been reminded of the blessing of employment and the incredible opportunity for a more enjoyable life given to us by restaurateurs. Reading a book while sipping tea in a cafe or having coffee with a friend is such an extraordinary pleasure that the extent of it can easily be overlooked until it is lost. So that is one thing that 2020 has done. It's reminded us of some of the fundamental reasons to be thankful and things that are so easily overlooked. Okay, so that brings us to, well, only slightly more difficult things to understand. And recall from yesterday, our discussion that just because millions of people misunderstand something, that doesn't mean it's hard to understand. Because a reason for misunderstanding is intentional ignorance. It is pride, selfishness, laziness, the economy of thought. I don't want to have to put effort into thinking about that. I'd rather cling to something where all the evidence really is that I'm wrong on this thing, but I'm going to cling to it basically because of selfishness and pride. And pride is what? The worst sin? The worst sin. So, is God outside of time? This is an article written by Matt Slick, popular Calvinist theologian, who debated Will Duffy at Denver Bible Church in person December 1st, 2017. So 3 years ago. And 16 months later, he writes an article, Is God Outside of Time? And he says that he's gone through his website and corrected all the places where he had argued that God is outside of time, because in the debate, Will Duffy did such a fabulous job of demolishing the claim that God is outside of time, showing from the Bible that God experiences sequence, which means God exists in time. And especially through the incarnation, you show that, but you show it in literally hundreds of Bible verses. So Matt Slick was challenged, and he said in the debate, which was not true, he said, I don't say that God is outside of time. So the audience was pretty much shocked. In fact, a press release was sent out in the aftermath of that debate that one of the leading Calvinist theologians on the internet, Matt Slick, announces that he does not believe that God is outside of time. It was a big deal. But he was making it like it wasn't a big deal and that Will was arguing for nothing because, hey, I'm a Calvinist. I don't say that God is outside of time. And it turns out that in the Q&A session, I was able to challenge him and said, Matt, I've just looked up that phrase on your website and you have half a dozen articles I have right here where you are affirming your belief that God is outside of time. You're using that phrase. You're affirming it. And he said, well, I don't say that. I don't believe that. So I'm going to have to correct those articles. So that's cool. 1 year, 4 months later, he published this article, Is God Outside of Time? Yesterday, we looked at the beginning of the article in which he claims that it's unclear what this might mean. And actually, it's not unclear at all. If God experiences sequence, for example, if God the Son became flesh in the incarnation, then that was a change. And if you experience sequence, pretty much all philosophers and all theologians acknowledge if you experience sequence, you are in time. So there are all the theologians who claim from Augustine on with Plato, who was a pagan Greek philosopher, that God is outside of time. And then there are open theists and a handful of others who are arguing, and this camp is growing rapidly, that it is unbiblical, it's false teaching to claim that God is outside of time. To be true to that claim, you have to throw the incarnation under the bus. And that's exactly what R.C. Sproul Jr. did and what theologian James White did in the immediate aftermath of my debate with James White, downtown Denver at the Brown Palace. They basically denied, they did deny that God the Son took on a human nature. That's denying the incarnation. So because of their commitment to this pagan idea that God is outside of time and God is unable to change in any way, utterly immutable, when they realize that the incarnation threatens that belief, they jettison the incarnation to retain their belief that God is outside of time. That's horrific. That's heresy. And neither man to this day has publicly retracted, nor have they publicly been reproved by any of the Calvinist leaders. And there are many people, many thousands of people have seen this go down on YouTube. And so it's not like it's not known. So Matt Slick continues in his article, "As I have grown in my understanding of the Bible, apologetics, logic, and argumentation, I have concluded that to say God is outside of time is problematic. I say this, now it would be nice if he said, I've concluded that it's wrong. But in this article, he's going to contradict himself. And so by claiming in his lead that the whole topic is unclear, then that sort of gives him cover. He lowers the expectation of the reader so he can hopefully get away with contradicting himself. And when you contradict yourself, you are wrong. That's a way of saying I'm wrong when I contradict myself, because truth is non-contradictory. So Matt says, I've concluded that to say God is outside of time is problematic. I say this because we, as God's creation, don't know what it means to exist outside of time. We cannot understand it. We cannot relate to it, whatever it is. And yesterday I pointed out that there are many things that we can't relate to, like God having existed from eternity past, but we could state with absolute certainty, we know what we mean by saying that, and our commitment is clear to God having always existed. If we don't understand how it is that God has always existed, that's a separate issue. And to conflate the two lowers expectations so that an author can get away with contradicting himself later in the article. So I've stopped using that phrase in reference to the triune God. However, I am not saying that God is restricted to time or that he must operate inside of time the same way we do, or that there is no time related to him. I just don't know what it means to say that God is outside of time. Well, actually, Matt, you just laid it out pretty well. There it was. If God can operate outside of time, then God's outside of time. If God cannot change the past, then God is in time. Pretty clear statements. Someone may not understand how it is that these things are so, but it's pretty simple to state what it is that's being discussed. Of course, God transcends time. Now, when Matt says that, that's false. That's like saying God transcends truth. That's false. It's like saying God transcends numbers. That's false. He's already said it's the eternal triune God. So the triune God doesn't mean that God could have 1,000 persons in one Godhead. It doesn't mean that the Hindus are right and there are thousands or millions or an infinite number of persons who are divine. No, there's three. So God does not transcend reality. In the same way, God does not transcend time. And we have, as you recall, an article, one of the most popular on the internet, is God Outside of Time, filled with the biblical teaching that God exists in time and even that God cannot change the past. We know he cannot. You read that article and you'll find out. You'll find, in fact, Jesus in Gethsemane basically acknowledging that God cannot change the past. So Matt Slick goes on, of course, God transcends time because he is not limited to it or bound by it. Well, of course he is. He can't go back and make it so that God the Son never humbled himself. Can't do that. He can't undo the crucifixion. Can't do that. Continuing with Slick. And as far as Jesus goes, it makes sense to say that there is a relationship that he has to time since he is a man like us. And this is something that our Calvinist brothers and sisters do, that borders on the creepy. They make Jesus into a fourth person of the Trinity. The things that are true of Jesus are not true of God the Son. How could that be? We worship Jesus. God the Son became flesh. Jesus didn't become flesh. They say, well, it's the humanity of Jesus. Well, what became flesh? The humanity of Jesus or God the Son? The humanity of Jesus didn't become human. God the Son took on a human nature. So when Jesus has a relationship to time, that means inexorably, that means that God the Son has a relationship to time. And because of that, and because there are three persons in the Godhead, they all must have a relationship with time. And when Jesus took on a human nature, God the Father became the father of a son who has a human nature. Even God the Father changed and the Holy Spirit changed. But Slick continues, but how that further relates to God, the triune being, I do not know. Well, we just made some very simple biblical observations that give us clear indications of ways in which that relates to all the persons of the Trinity. So again, I have stopped using that phrase in relation to God, and I have changed articles on my website to reflect this modification of thought. Okay, so now the third paragraph. And this paragraph, you know, Shakespeare saying, thou protesteth too much, right? Well, Matt Slick is going to claim here that his change in this position had nothing to do with his debate with Will Duffy. Now, he couches it in other terms, but that's what he's saying. And it's not a coincidence that the very next day, March 24th, 2019, he then writes an article against Bob Enyart and Open Theism. I mean, my name is in the title. So when he did this, this had everything to do with him facing Will Duffy in debate, and he changed his position in the middle of the debate because it's untenable to argue that God cannot change when you are faced with the overwhelming biblical evidence. So Slick writes, my change in the use of the phrase has nothing to do with any open theist comments to me. And that's Will Duffy, right? It is strictly due to my thinking it through and realizing that I could not define sufficiently what that phrase means, and that's not true. Matt is not being honest, perhaps even not being honest with himself, and certainly not being honest with others. Now, he throws in, to sort of obfuscate, he throws in, my change in the use of this phrase has nothing to do with what any atheist, agnostic, open theist, Catholic, Molinist, or philosopher's comments to me have been. Nothing to do with any of that. I just came up with this on my own. Isn't it funny he came up with this in the middle of his debate with Will Duffy? I mean, humility saves marriages. Humility can avert wars. Humility can turn us away from sin. Humility. So we'll continue tomorrow and go through Matt's article, Is God Outside of Time? Should be interesting. May God bless you.